Blog Talk Radio.
I dedicate this song to recession, depression, and unemployment. This song is for you.
Today's a new day, but there is no sunshine. Nothing but clouds, and it's dark in my heart, and it feels like a cold night. Today's a new day, but where are my blue skies? Where is the love and the joy that you promised to tell me it's alright?
I'll be honest with you,
I almost gave up, but a power that I can't explain fell from heaven like a shower.
When I think how much better I'm gonna be when this is over,
All this time, I think this mic was off. Good evening, Bishop. I think all this time my mic was off. But guess what? I believe it was. But guess what? It's okay because Jesus is Lord. And I'm going to see how to edit it so that we can get the broadcast to start to the point where, you know, we're starting to talk right now.
Amen.
We can edit it. But I'm going to go back and say what I was talking about because it needs to be heard. And one thing that I see that is going on in the world today, Bishop Scott, is that so much evil is being called good and good is being called evil. So many people seem to be pressured to compromise the word of God and compromise their spirituality in favor of the things that's going on in the world today. People are saying that, you know, God doesn't require all of that. If you're talking about this or you're talking about that, you're judging, you're supposed to, you know, reach people in love. The Bible does tell us if a brother is overtaken in a fault, restore such a one, but restore them in the spirit of love. Okay? We understand that. But the Bible also tells us to come out from among them and be separate and touch not the unclean thing. And God says, I will receive you. So, whatever you were doing last year, I said previously, which was not heard, if you can look at your life from September the 19th, 2012 to September the 19th, 2013, can you look at your life and see that there's any spiritual growth from a year ago today? If you can say no, I would suggest to you that you get your Bible, that you pray, that you seek God like you never sought him before. If from September the 19th, 2012 to September the 19th, 2013, you're still living like you were living before you became born again, then I would suggest that you go to God. I would suggest that you talk to God. I would suggest that you ask God to clean this house. Clean me up from the inside out. We can do that. People say, well, we're under grace now. We're under grace. We don't have to do all of this and we don't have to do that because Jesus already came and he already died for our sins, so he's not dying for our sins anymore. Absolutely. The Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 53 that Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. That's what the word of God tells me. And John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So if you believe that Jesus was wounded for your transgressions and he was bruised for your iniquities, why are you still living in sin? It's just a question. I'm not talking about the occasional, oh, I slipped into this, or if you want to say that, or I fell into this, that, or the other. The Bible says a righteous man falleth seven times, okay? If you want to lay on that scripture. But my question to you is this. If Jesus was wounded for your transgressions and bruised for your iniquities, and you believe on him, why are you still living in sin? Why are you still living a lifestyle of sin? That's my question. And I know I won't get any response to this. I know that people don't want to hear this. I know people are saying you're judging and, you know, you really should mind your business and worry about yourself and stop worrying about everybody else, because I've had people say that to me on Facebook. I've had people delete me for saying things like this. But what I have learned and what I am still learning is when you have messages like this, and I remember one day my husband told me this. When you have messages like this, you're not going to have friends. You're not going to have people walking beside you because people don't want to hear this kind of message.
Amen.
And yes, I have remembered that you said that to me, honey. I remember that. I don't remember date and time, but I remember you saying that, and it's proven to be correct. People don't want to hear it. I have people on Facebook, they will say, you know, you just come a little bit too strong. You should, you know, soften your message so you can win souls. That's not the way God gave it to me. That's not the way God gave it to me. And those who need to hear it will hear it. the way God has given it to me. Whomever else God gives it to say it a different way, they will hear it from that person a different way. But the call of the gospel is to hear the word of God and be transformed in your mind, be born again. We cannot say we believe that Jesus was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities and still continue to live in sin, because if we say that, we really don't have an understanding of what that means. It's just mere words. It's time to move out of just hearing God's word, but it's time to move into understanding the word of God so that we can be transformed by the renewing of our minds, according to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. How can we be renewed in our minds if we really don't want to stop sinning because we want to sit around and talk about, well, I'm no longer I'm not under the law now, but I'm under grace. So Jesus already died for my sins. So whatever sins I commit, he already died for them already, because he's not going to die again. Go ahead with that. If you continue to willfully sin, you have a problem already. David said in the Psalms, and I'm going to see if I can locate that for you. He says, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. And I'm going to see if I can find that. Keep back thy servant. I thank God for the internet, because you can find stuff so fast. Psalm 19:13, and I should already know this by heart, because it's part of one of the scriptures that we had to learn as a child. When I was going to church, we had to learn this scripture in verse 14. But Psalm chapter 19, verse 13. Actually, let me start at verse 12. I sounded like my husband right there when I did that. Been together for 14 years, so I'm going to read this, Psalm 19. I'm going to start at verse 12. It says, who can discern his errors? Acquit me of hidden faults. Also keep back your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, and I shall be acquitted of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. The King James Version says, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins, the King James Version says. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. The Holman Christian Standard Bible says, moreover, keep your servant from willful sin. Do not let them rule over me. Then I will be innocent and cleansed from blatant rebellion. The New Living Translation says, keep your servant from deliberate sins. Don't let them control me. Then I will be free of guilt and innocent of great sin. Numbers chapter 15, verse 30 says, but anyone who sins defiantly, whether native born or foreign, blasphemes the Lord and must be cut off from the people of Israel. Now, this is what God was talking about his own people, the Israelites. But anyone who sins defiantly. So he was talking about that way back then. But anyone who sins defiantly. So if we are supposed to be born again, but we continue in sin, number one, that's rebellion. And it's defiance. According to Numbers 15:20, anyone who sins defiantly, whether native or foreign, blasphemes the Lord. So now you're calling us blasphemers. Psalm 119:133 says, Direct my footsteps according to your word. Let not sin rule over me. See, these are the kind of things that we should be praying. These are the kind of things that we should be confessing every day. These are the kind of things that we should have coming out of our mouth. Then we won't be so quick to say, don't judge me. I'm under grace. God is all right with what I'm doing. He going to let me into heaven anyway because he knows my heart. He does know our hearts. He knows that if we say that we confess Jesus as Lord, but we continue to live like the devil, our heart is full of darkness. Yeah, I'm going to say it again. Okay. God knows that if we say that we are born again and that Jesus is Lord, but we continue to live like the devil, our heart is full of darkness. Jesus said, the world loves darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. This is in the same chapter of John 3:16, where he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. He says, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. However, we know that everybody is not going to believe on the Son of God. Everybody's not going to believe on Jesus. Everybody's not going to believe in Yahshua HaMashiach. Everybody's not going to believe on him and what the redemptive work of his death, burial, and resurrection. They're not going to believe in that. They're not going to believe in Isaiah 53. Not everybody's going to believe that. People are going to say they believe it, but their lifestyle is going to indicate that they don't believe it. We keep saying one thing out of our mouths but doing something else. We are what we do rather than what we say. My husband says, what you do speak so loudly, I can hardly hear what you're saying. What you do outweighs what you say. The scale is unbalanced. They don't measure out. Your walk doesn't match your talk. I don't care how many times you go to church a week. I don't care how many Bibles you read. I don't care how many times you get on your knees and pray at night. I don't care how many times a day you pray. If you're living like the devil, Jesus ain't your Lord. He can't be your Christ. He can't be your Savior if you're still living like the devil. If that's the case, then God can't even agree with himself. Yeah, I sent my son to die for your sins, so keep living like you want to live. What was the point of him sending his son? What was the point of Jesus being wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities? What was the point? If we can still continue in sin, that grace may abound. That means the stripes that Jesus bore are of none effect. No, this is not a popular message. No, I know that. But it's the word of God. Jesus says, where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. If your treasure is striving for fame and fortune, that's where your heart's going to be. I want attention. I want to be popular. I want to be this and I want to be that. My husband and I were talking today about the new broadcast. I mean, the new program that's coming on one of the, well, I don't know what channel it is, but the broadcast is coming on the preachers of L.A., the pastors of L.A., or something like that. And one of the pastors walking around looking like a pimp. Literally, looking like a pimp. Okay, you know, if you think that Puffy, he walking around with all this money, he doing whatever he doing, you think you should be living the same lifestyle as Puffy? Puffy has his reward right now if he don't turn his life over to Christ. You want the same thing? You walking around flashing, driving your car with the woman on the top of it. What's the name of that car? Jaguar? Jaguar? Bentleys? You riding into the poor neighborhoods with that stuff on, styling and profiling? Getting out your car with your floor-length fox on, your floor-length mink, going out there talking to the drug dealers with all that stuff on. That's supposed to make them turn to God, because you out there pimping, looking like a pimp at least. But that's supposed to turn them over to God. That's going to make them sell more drugs. That's going to make them want to do more so they can get what you got. That's why they're on the street in the first place, selling drugs, because they make more money selling drugs than they do working a 9-to-5. And then the other part is, most of them are illiterate, so they can't even hold down a 9-to-5 job because they didn't finish school. So the next best thing they can do is the street pharmacy gig. And you out there looking like them. They looking at what you got. You're supposed to be offering them Jesus, and they looking at the stuff you got. To each his own. To each his own. Matthew chapter 6 says, therefore, do not worry and be anxious, saying, what are we going to have to eat, or what are we going to have to drink, or what are we going to have to wear? For the Gentiles, or the heathens, wish for and crave and diligently seek all these things. And your heavenly Father knows well what you need, knows well that you need them all. But seek, aim at, and strive after first all of his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right. And then all these things taken together will be given you besides. So don't worry or be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will have worries and anxieties of its own. Sufficient for the day is its own troubles. See, when we seek riches, God don't really want us to seek riches, because he knows that once people get rich, they turn away from God. Most of the time, he wants us to seek him first. Seek ye first, the King James Version says, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added to you, meaning what you shall eat, what you shall drink, what you shall wear. All those things will be added to you. This is what the Word of God says. Not Teresa, but this is what the Word of God says. Now, as I said, we're going to be reading Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 8, and Romans chapter 12. And again, people don't want to hear the word of God. They would like to hear gossip. They would like to hear whatever. They would like to hear the word watered down, but you won't get it at Out of a Pure Heart Ministries. Amen? Amen. Now, turn to Romans chapter 6, if you have your Bible. And we're going to read that, but first, I'm going to see if I can pull this. I'm trying to see if I can pull this up. And I know some people don't like this song, but I want you to hear the song, because this is why we're reading Romans chapter 6. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. And I really want us to listen to this song. And I want you to just hear the words. And I'm going to read the words. If I can find it on another site, I'm going to try to read the words to you. Because there are some sites that have the words. By Isaac Curry. I don't know how to spell his name. Isaac Curry. Okay, let's see. I know it says clean this house on the inside out, restore me, take away my impurities. And there's a part in the song where he talks about he know he hasn't been reading his word, he been hanging out at the club, you know, he been doing stuff that he knows that he has no business doing. And he was identifying those things and realizing that he had fallen short, that he had, you know, turned away from God and was doing things that he had no business doing. That's why I like this song, because of the things that he talks about. And it's a real issue, because it's the real things that we're dealing with in real life. You know, a lot of people are dealing with that, you know, they've fallen off, not doing what they were doing, you know, as far as God is concerned. So I'm going to play this, and I just want you to listen to this, and we'll come back and we'll go into Romans chapter 6.
Yeah. Lord, I thank you for forgiving me over and over again. Yeah, I'm calling on you, Heavenly Father. I'm down on my knees. Say, call on you no matter the hour. Lord, I'm in need. I've been messing up, done lost my house, done lost my job. Why walking out? These church folks say they my friends, but I'm all they talk about. I've been doing wrong, I'm so sorry. Lord, please forgive me. We confess to Him, He'll remove all wickedness. The blood from Your Son will wash me from my sins. Clean this house from the inside out. Restore me. Take away my business doing it, no church or no Bible study ain't been in my word. Now I know better than this, can't live my life in sin. We confess to Him, He'll remove all wickedness. The blood from Your Son will wash me from my sins. Clean this house. total cleaning sometimes. And
yeah,
I can introduce you to the best cleaner alive. Every now and then we all go through a little strife.
Yeah,
but if you let him, he will change your life. Now I can hear you saying that life's been rough.
Oh yeah,
you've been going through a whole lot of stuff. God specializes in the impossible. Just trust and believe.
Yeah,
his grace is more than enough.
Wow. He said, clean this house from the inside out. Restore me. Take away my impurities. But there's a particular part in that song that I really want you to hear, because he said, let me see if I can find the part. Excuse me. Let me see. He was talking about he was going to drinking and smoking and going to the club, and he wasn't reading his Bible anymore. And a lot of people are at that place in their lives that, you know, he says, I've been messing up, done lost my house, done lost my job, wife walking out, church folks say they my friends, but all they do is talking about me, basically. Okay, but that's not the part. He said, I'm sorry, Lord, please forgive me. Then he says, we confess to him, he'll remove all wickedness. The blood from your son will wash me from your sins. Then he says, clean this house from the inside out. Restore me, take away my impurities. But I want to get to the next part of this, because I just think that is very important for us to... He said, I said, if you got me out the last situation, I wouldn't do it again. But then he says, what can I say? I'm only human. And Lord, here I stand. He said, I've been smoking a lot and drinking a lot and all up in the club. I've been doing this. I've been doing that. And I had no business doing it. No church or no Bible study. Ain't been in my word. Now I know better than this. Can't live my life in sin. That's the part right there. I know better than this, he says. And a lot of us do things that we know better. He says, I've been doing this, I've been doing that. I've been smoking a lot and drinking a lot all up in the club. I've been doing this, I've been doing that, and I had no business doing it. No church or no Bible study, ain't been in my word. Now I know better than this. I can't live my life in sin. Then he says, we confess to him, he'll remove all wickedness. The blood from your son will wash me from my sins. And he says, clean this house on the inside out. And I applaud him for putting that in this song, because a lot of us can say that. I've been drinking a lot. I've been smoking a lot. I'm all up in the club. I've been doing that, this. I've been doing that stuff I had no business doing. But then he says, clean me, Lord. Clean this house from the inside out. Restore me. Take away my impurities, is what he was saying. He recognized that he's been living foul. He recognized that he's been living in sin. And a lot of us don't want to admit the fact that we've been living in sin. And maybe you ain't been all up in a club. And maybe you ain't been drinking a lot and, you know, doing this or doing that. But there's something that's holding you back from serving the Lord. There's something that's holding you back, and you still live in a lifestyle of sin. And that this song, I appreciate him for writing this song, because it puts things in perspective. I've been doing this, I've been doing that. I ain't been in my word. Ain't going to Bible study, ain't doing none of that. But I'm doing everything else. And that's an honest heart. If you go to God and you say that, God, look, I ain't been doing nothing for you. I haven't been doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I've been doing this and I've been doing all of that. That's the start of spiritual maturity right there. When we can get to the point and say, you know what, God, I'm just a wretch undone. I'm just doing what I want to do. And I know in my heart that it's not right. I know that because, God, you gave us a conscience. You put it in our heart from the beginning. We know right from wrong. Because when our forefathers ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we know good and we know evil. We know right and we know wrong. So we know that. But we have a choice as to whether or not we want to live right and be right with God or live wrong and deal with the consequences of living wrong. Romans chapter 6 says, what shall we say to all this? Are we to remain in sin in order that God's grace may multiply and overflow? Certainly not. How can we who died to sin live in it any longer? Are you ignorant to the fact that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried together with him by the baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, so we too might live and behave in newness of life. I'm going to read this again. I'm reading from the Amplified Bible, but I'm going to read the stuff that's in parentheses too. This verse 4 says, We were buried therefore with him, meaning Jesus, by the baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, so we too might habitually live and behave in newness of life. For if we have become one with him by sharing a death like his, we shall also be one with him in sharing his resurrection by a new life lived for God. We know that our old unrenewed self was nailed to the cross with him in order that our body, which is the instrument of sin, might be made ineffective and inactive for evil, that we might no longer be the slaves of sin. For when a man dies, he is freed, loosed, delivered from the power of sin among men. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Because we know that the anointed one, we know that Christ, the anointed one, being once raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has power over him. For by the death he died to sin, ending his relation to it once for all. And the life that he lives, he is living to God in unbroken fellowship with him. Even so, consider yourselves also dead to sin and your relationship to it broken, but alive to God, living in unbroken fellowship with him in Christ Jesus. Let not sin therefore rule as king in your mortal, your short-lived, perishable bodies, to make you yield to its cravings and be subject to its lusts and evil passions. Do not continue offering or yielding your body, members, and faculties to sin as instruments or tools of wickedness, but offer and yield yourselves to God as though you have been raised from the dead to perpetual life, and your bodily members and faculties to God, presenting them as implements of righteousness. For sin shall not any longer exert dominion over you, since now you are not under law as slaves, but under grace as subjects of God's favor and mercy. What then are we to conclude? Shall we sin because we live not under the law, but under God's favor and mercy? Certainly not. Do you not know that if you continually surrender yourself to anyone to do his will, you are the slaves of him whom you obey, whether that be to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness, right doing, and right standing with God. But thank God, though you were once slaves of sin, you have become obedient with all your heart to the standard of teaching in which you were instructed and to which you were committed. And have been and having been set free from sin, you have become the servants of righteousness, of conformity to the divine will and thought, purpose, and action. I am speaking in familiar human terms because of your natural limitations. For as you yielded your bodily members and faculties as servants of impurity and ever-increasing lawlessness, so now yield your bodily members and faculties once for all as servants to righteousness, right being and doing, which leads to sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But then what benefits or return did you get from the things of which you are now ashamed? None, for the end of those things is death. But now since you have been set free from sin and have become the slaves of God, you have your present reward in holiness and its end in eternal life. For the wages which sin pays is death, but the bountiful free gift of God is eternal life through and union with Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay? We know the King James Version says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of life, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? Amen. Thank God for his word. Now, we're going to go to Romans chapter 8. Okay? Romans chapter 8 says, therefore, there is now no condemnation, no adjudging guilty of wrong. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who live and walk not after the dictates of the flesh, but after the dictates of the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, the law of our new being, has freed me from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law could not do, its power being weakened by the flesh, the entire nature of man without the Holy Spirit, sending his own Son in the guise of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin. God condemned sin in the flesh. He subdued it, overcame it, deprived it of its power over all who accept that sacrifice, so that the righteous and just requirements of the law might be fully met in us who live and move not in the ways of the flesh, but in the ways of the Spirit, which means our lives governed not by the standards and according to the dictates of the flesh, but controlled by the Holy Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh and are controlled by its unholy desires set their minds on and purpose those things which gratify the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit and are controlled by the desires of the Spirit set their minds on and seek those things which gratify the Holy Spirit. Now the mind of the flesh, which is sense and reason without the Holy Spirit, the mind of the flesh is death. But the mind of the Holy Spirit is life and peace, both now and forever. That is, because the mind of the flesh, with its carnal thoughts and purposes, is hostile to God, for it does not submit itself to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. So then those who are living the life of the flesh, catering to the appetites and impulses of their carnal nature, cannot please or satisfy God or be acceptable to him. But you are not living the life of the flesh. You are living the life of the Spirit, if the Holy Spirit of God really dwells within you. But if anyone does not possess the Holy Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. He does not belong to Christ, is not truly a child of God. But if Christ lives in you, then although your natural body is dead by reason of sin and guilt, the Spirit is alive because of the righteousness that he imputes to you. And if the Spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then he who raised up Christ Jesus from the dead would also restore to life your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brethren, we are debtors, but not to the flesh. We are not obligated to our carnal nature to live a life ruled by the standards set up by the dictates of the flesh. For if you live according to the dictates of the flesh, you will surely die. But if through the power of the Holy Spirit you are habitually putting to death, making extinct, deadening the evil deeds prompted by the body, you shall really and genuinely live forever. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. For the Spirit which you have now received is not a spirit of slavery to put you once more in bondage to fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption, which we cry, Abba, Father. Okay? The Spirit itself testifies together with our own spirit, assuring us that we are the children of God. And if we are his children, then we are his heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, sharing his inheritance with him. Only we must share his suffering if we are to share his glory. But what of that? For I consider that the sufferings of this present time, this present life, are not worth being compared with the glory that is about to be revealed to us and in us and for us and conferred on us. For even the whole creation, all nature, waits expectantly and longs earnestly for God's Son to be made known, waits for the revealing, the disclosing of his sonship. For the creation nature was subject to the frailty, not because of some intentional fault on its part, but by the will of him who subjected it, yet with the hope that that nature itself will be set free from its bondage of decay and corruption into the glorious freedom of God's children. We know that the whole creation has been moaning together in the pains of labor until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves too, who have and enjoy their first fruits of the Holy Spirit, grown inwardly as we wait for the redemption of our bodies and the grave, which will reveal our adoption, our manifestation as God's sons. For in this hope we were saved, but hope which is seen is not hope. For how can one hope for what he already sees? But if we hope for what is still unseen by us, we wait for it with patience and composure. So, too, the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bears us up in our weaknesses. For we do not know what prayer to offer, nor how to offer it worthily as we ought. But the Spirit himself goes to meet our supplication and pleads on our behalf with unspeakable yearnings and groanings too deep for utterance. And he who searches the hearts of men knows what is in the mind of the Holy Spirit, what his intent is, because the Spirit intercedes and pleads before God in behalf of the saints according to and in harmony with God's will. We are assured and know that God, being a partner in their labor, all things work together and are fitting into a plan for good to and for those who love God and are called according to his design and purpose. For those whom he foreknew, of whom he was aware and loved beforehand, he also destined from the beginning to be molded into the image of his Son, so that he might become the firstborn among many brethren. And those whom he thus foreordained, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified, acquitted, made righteous, putting them into right standing with himself. And those whom he justified, he also glorified, raising them to a heavenly dignity and condition or state of being. What then shall we say to all this? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who can be our foe if God is on our side? He who did not withhold or spare even his own Son, but gave him up for us all, will he not also with him freely and graciously give us all other things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect when it is God who justifies, that is, who puts us in right relation to himself? Who shall come forward and accuse or impeach those whom God has chosen? Will God? who acquits us? Who is there to condemn us? Well, Christ Jesus, the Messiah, who died, or rather who raised from the dead, who is at the right hand of God actually pleading as he intercedes for us? Who shall ever separate us from Christ's love? Shall suffering and affliction or tribulation or calamity and distress or persecution or hunger or destitution or peril or sword? Even as it is written, for thy sake we are put to death all the day long. We are regarded and counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet amid all these things, we are more than conquerors, and again a surpassing victory through him who loved us. For I am persuaded beyond doubt that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things impending and threatening, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That was Romans chapter 8. And now we shall proceed to Romans chapter 12. And I'm going to read this one. Oh, where's my other Bible? I actually want to read this one. I'm going to read this one out of the New King James Version. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith, or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with them who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Verse 9 in chapter 12 says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. If you don't remember any other verse out of Romans chapter 12, and this is a deviation for me because I stand strong on Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. However, verse 9 says, love without hypocrisy. It says, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. It doesn't say love evil. It doesn't say make evil good and good evil. It says abhor what is evil. And I'm going to look up that word for you right now. Abhor. Regard with disgust and hate. Regard with disgust and hate. Regard with disgust and hatred. Excuse me. Regard with disgust and hatred that which is evil. That's what this says. Regard with disgust and hatred that which is evil. Okay? Another definition says to regard with extreme repugnance or aversion, detest utterly, loathe, abominate. Okay? This is what I'm reading. One I read from the Free Merriam-Webster Dictionary. The other I read at dictionary.com. And another one that agrees with the other one I read was from Free Online Dictionary and Thesaurus. Okay? To regard, one says to regard with horror or loathing. That's why it's good to do word studies when we're reading the Word of God. It's good to be able to understand what it's really talking about. Abhor, which is evil. Loathe, what is evil. Okay? To regard with extreme repugnance or aversion. Detest utterly. Detest what is evil. Detest it. What is evil. If it's evil, regard it with disgust and hatred. Why? Because God hates sin, and God says, be holy, for I am holy. We're not supposed to play patty cake with sin. We're not supposed to like sin and uphold sin and uphold that which is evil. We're not supposed to like that stuff. We're supposed to hate it. It's supposed to be funky to us, stinky to us. It says repugnant. That's a word that my husband would use. Repugnant. It's not a good smell to it. But see, as we begin to study the Word of God, as we begin to meditate on the Word of God, as we begin to allow the Word of God to change us, we'll begin to see things from God's perspective. We'll begin to see things more of the way He sees it. We'll begin to not only see things the way God sees it, but we'll begin to obey Him more readily. That scripture that says, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins, let them not have dominion over me, in Psalm 19:13, will be something that we will say, and not just say, but we will mean that thing. Lord, keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Not let them not have dominion over me. Presumptuous, willful. That thing that I want to do willfully, Lord, keep me back from that. That ungodly, willful thing that I want to do. Keep me back from that. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sin. Don't let them have dominion over me, Lord. then I'll be blameless. And then he goes on to say in verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Presumptuous sins, willful sins, the willful sins of my mouth, the willful sins of my thoughts. The willful things that I do. Let them have not dominion over me, Lord. Change my heart, O God. Change my heart, O God. Let me think like you. Let me talk like you. Let me act like you. Let me pursue you as the deer panteth for the water. So my soul longeth after thee. You, O Lord, are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. But see, we don't sing these songs. Lord, I want to be more like you. CeCe Winans sings this song, Fill My Cup, Lord. I remember the first time I heard that song, and many times thereafter, even now when I hear that song, Fill My Cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting in my soul. Bread from heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, Lord, and make me whole. I need to put that in my studio so I can play that. Fill my cup, Lord. And this is my prayer on tonight for myself as well as for you who may be listening live and for you who may go on and listen to this in the archive. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting in my soul. Bread from heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. It reminds me of the woman with the alabaster box, and CeCe Winans sings that alabaster box song. You weren't there the night Jesus found me. You weren't there. You don't know what he did for me. You didn't feel what I felt when he wrapped his loving arms around me. No, you don't know the cost of the oil. You don't know the cost of my praise. You don't know the cost of the oil in my alabaster box. Sometimes I find myself just singing, 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 and I can't even help it. I'm just singing, singing, singing loud, crazy like sometimes. Because I feel the attacks of the enemy coming against me. I have to go on warfare praise like that. I have to dance when my legs don't feel like it. Because God has taken me into warfare. Warfare praise. He knows what's coming before me, so he'll take me into a warfare praise. And sometimes at the time, I don't even understand it. But he knows that the enemy is coming to try to overtake me, or something is going on in the spirit realm. That's why we need to get in touch with God. If we're in the same place we were last year, this time, we need to get into God and make sure that we're doing according to his will. We shouldn't be at the same place singing the same old woe is me song where we were last year. We shouldn't be saying, I've been drinking a lot, I've been smoking a lot, I'm all up in the club. I'm not going to church, and I'm not reading my word. I'm doing stuff I have no business doing. We shouldn't be able to say that if we call ourselves saved and we're doing the same thing we're doing last year than we were doing this year. If we can't remember anything else from that particular inspirational song, we should remember, clean this house, Lord, from the inside out. The Bible teaches us it's not what goes into a man that defiles him, but it's what comes out of him. Clean this house, Lord, on the inside out. I had a situation today that caused me to cry walking down the street today. And I had to call my husband while I was walking down the street so he could encourage me to keep pressing on, baby. Don't worry about it. Keep pressing on. But I don't want to get to the point where I don't have to cry walking down the street. I want to get to the point where I don't have to say to the person, just because I don't look sick doesn't mean I'm sick. Because he refused to help me. He refused to assist me. I want to get to the point that no matter what the devil brings my way, that I'm okay. I do want to get to that point in my life. And I want you to get to the point in your life where we already know that the enemy is our foe. But that we're so rooted and grounded in God that we can just look at the enemy and be like, to the person, or just say a prayer for them, God forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. I just want to be to that point in my life. And I want that to be there for you. My question to you tonight, on September 19, 2013, if you haven't changed in your spiritual walk with the Lord, if your walk with him is the same as it was a year ago, I'm going to ask you to get your word out, study your word, no matter what else is going on. Because at the end of life, you know what? We're going to have to answer to God. Your friends and your homies and your BFFs, they're not going to stand before God and answer for you. The people in my life, my associates, my husband, my children, not nobody is going to be able to stand before God for me. Everything I do in my body, everything you do in your body, whether it be good or whether it be bad, whether it be right or whether it be wrong, we're going to have to give an account. It just is what it is. Husbands, if you're not treating your wife right, you're going to have to give an account. Wives, if you're not treating your husband right, you're going to have to give an account. If you're in a fivefold ministry, pastor, preacher, apostle, teacher, evangelist, whatever you are, if you're not living right, you're going to have to give an account. For everybody, it's not going to be a great day in the morning. It's not going to always be hallelujah. Everybody not going to be saying hallelujah when Jesus come back. God wants us, he's giving us a chance to clean up now. He's giving us a chance to get it right now. He's given us a chance because once we close our eyes, there's no more chance. If we die before Jesus returns and we haven't gotten it right, after death, after the closing of the eyes, there's no more chance. No more chance after that. The old folks used to sing, get right with God and do it now. Get right with God. He will show you how. Down at the cross where Jesus shed his blood. Get right with God. Get right with God. They used to sing that song, and it would invite people to come to the altar and turn their lives over to Christ Jesus. It wasn't about saying a sinner's prayer and then letting you go off and do whatever you want to do. It was real mothers down at the altar with you, praying, interceding for you, begging you literally to come out of sin and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior and to live for him. Literally. These are people used to call you on the phone and find out if you didn't come to church, were you okay? They would call you and pray with you. They were so adamant about it, we would just look at, you know, scared to pick up the phone because we didn't have call ID, so we didn't know. And Lord have mercy, when we picked up the phone, if we were still living in sin, we'd be like, man, why did I pick up the phone? Because mother so-and-so, they had the spirit of discernment. And they could tell when we were in sin. They used to say, we can smell the sin on you. They could tell if we were fornicating. They could tell if we was out there on that stuff. They could tell whatever it was we were doing that was not right with God. And when we were in sin, we tried to avoid them like the plague. Because we didn't want them to tell us about our sin. Oh, this thing about, you know, going to church and still living like you want to live, that's not new. That didn't just start in 2013. But the difference is, the mothers of the church didn't compromise. The mothers of the church didn't try to lower God's standards to get people to come into church. They went to church and they prayed. They prayed for their loved ones. They prayed for their family members. They prayed for the neighbor's child. They prayed for your child. They prayed for you. They would be at the altar weeping and crying for souls. Not just saying, open the doors and just let everybody come in and let them do what they want to do. They can still live how they want to live because God is a God of love. He's going to accept you any way you are and let you do what you want to do and still go to heaven. There was no such a thing when I was growing up. If we didn't live right, we were told we're going to hell. When we were growing up and we weren't living right, we heard damnation stories. From the Bible. They preached hellfire and brimstone. Yes, they did. And no, not everybody lived right. But most of the time when people didn't want to live right, they didn't. And a lot of times they stayed out of church. Came to church on Easter. Came to church when they felt like it. I was one. I went to church a lot, and every time I went, in one particular church, the people told me about my sin. One church, they ain't tell me nothing. They just told me to keep coming. Keep coming. Keep coming. You'll be all right. Keep coming. Keep coming. They put me on Front Street a couple of times in front of the whole church. Because I was determined I was going to live my life. I was going to do me. And I wasn't going to let anybody tell me what to do because I was a grown woman. I continued to do what I wanted to do. And I thank God today that he didn't let me die in my rebellion. That he didn't let me die in my disobedience. That he didn't let me die as I was being stiff-necked and as I was continuing to kick against the prick. I thank God that he didn't let me die out there. Because my soul would have been in hell. I thank God somebody prayed for me. And not just somebody, but somebody's. People were out there praying for me. And somebody's out there praying for you. If you are like this person in this song that says, I've been drinking a lot, I've been smoking a lot, I've been all up in the club. I've been doing this, I've been doing that, doing things I had no business doing. If that's you tonight, you can talk to God about it right where you are. If you love evil, if you love still doing those things that are not pleasing to God, you can confess that to God tonight, and he can take that from you. I was looking at Unsung last night on through YouTube, and I was looking at the guy that used to play Raj on What's Happening and What's Happening Now. And he said he remember when he was growing up, it was him and I believe it was a sister, and they had two different fathers, but the father of his sister kept saying, I'm your father, but his mother said, no, he's not your father, you have a different daddy. And he was feeling out of place. He didn't know, you know, how to feel, because his sister had a father, but he didn't know who his father was. He was saying how his mother told him, son, let God be your father. And he said he went, you know, and went to California, whatever. He got offered the television show. And after three seasons, the television show got canceled. He said after the show got canceled, he said he was devastated because the show was doing good in the ratings. They were in the top 10. And he said he just didn't understand why their show got canceled being in the top 10. They were doing so well. So he said after the show got canceled, he started drinking and, you know, smoking weed and doing some other type of drug. And he said he had gotten so drunk. And he got on the train, and when he got off the train, he didn't even know where he was. He said he was so messed up when he got off the train. He said he fell to his knees and asked God to forgive him and asked God to help him. And he said right then, God took away the desire for drinking. God took away the desire for drugs, and God cleaned him up. This is Roger from What's Happening, and I don't know how many of you, you know, if you're young, if you know anything about that program, but you can go and look up Unsung on YouTube and read his testimony. I had no idea what I was going to be listening to when I turned to that. And the Holy Spirit allowed me to see his testimony of how God cleaned him up. He said he fell to his knees. He said he was so drunk. He don't even know how he got from point A to point B. But when he got up those steps, he fell to the ground on his knees. So you know what that tells me? You don't have to wait till you go to church. You can fall on your knees where you are right now and ask God to deliver you from whatever it is that's keeping you separate from him. You can fall on your knees wherever you are and begin to ask God to clean me up, Lord God. You can do that right where you are. You don't need a form or a fashion. You don't have to follow this particular formula or this particular way. You can fall on your knees wherever you are and just be real with God and say, God, I'm tired of living my life as a double agent. Because I'm only fooling myself if I think I can continue in sin so that grace may abound. You can fall on your knees right now and say, God, I'm sorry. I have sinned. Against you only have I sinned and done that which is evil in your sight. God, I heard the word, and the word said to abhor evil and to cleave to that which is good. I heard the word, Lord God, that says, keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins and let it not have dominion over me. God, I heard that word, and now I'm asking you to keep me back from presumptuous sins. I'm asking you not to let it have dominion over me. I'm asking you, God, to clean me from the inside out. Because if you can do it for Raj, you can do it for me. You can say that to God. You don't even have to use those words. Whatever you want to say to God and ask him to clean you up, whatever you want to say to God, whatever your problem is, whatever your hindrance is, whatever it is that you're cleaving to or you're holding on to that is not pleasing to God, you can talk to God about it and ask him to take that desire away from you because you want to live right. Because Isaiah 53 says, he was wounded for my transgressions and he was bruised for my iniquities. I don't have to live any longer in sin, but God, I need your help. I need your help, God, to take away this desire to continue to sin. I need your help. I don't want to love evil. I want evil to be repugnant to me. I want to hate evil. I want to cleave to that which is good, God. I need you to help me, though, because my spirit is willing, but my flesh is weak. And I'm going to tell you what I know, and I'm going to tell you what I've heard. That if you're honest with God, he will hear your prayer and he will answer you. God will not withhold a sincere prayer from you. What I'm asking you to do is just go to God and be sincere. You don't have to pray like me. You don't have to talk to God like I talk to God. Talk to God the way you have to talk to God so that you can get what you need from God. I'm not saying be disrespectful to God. I'm saying go to God and be honest with God. I'm saying get in your word. Read this word back to God. God, this is your word to me. Now I'm giving you your word back to you because you said in Isaiah 55 that your word will not come back to you void. It's not going to come back to you without accomplishing what you set it out to do. And your word says in Matthew chapter 6, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. God, help me to seek you first. Seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness. Help me to seek that first. But God, I need you to clean this house because it's not what goes into a man that defiles him, it's what comes out of the man. I don't want to be defiled anymore. I want to live dead to sin and alive to God. I want to live like Jesus was wounded for my transgressions and bruised for my iniquities. I want to live like by his stripes I am healed. I want to live like that, Lord. I don't want sin to continue to have dominion over me. I don't want sin to continue to control me, Lord. I'm ready for a change. It's 2013, and I'm the same way I was, or might be even a little bit worse than I was in 2012. Oh, God, can you hear me? Can you deliver me? Can you set me free, God, in Jesus' name? And he will deliver you. I looked up that program and heard Rod say he fell to his knees. And he was in a drunken stupor. So you know what that tells me? Doesn't matter what your condition is. God hears a sincere prayer. God, he wasn't drunk when he got up off his knees. He went down drunk, but he came up a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. And he doesn't mind telling that story of his life. If we really want God to clean us up, he will. If we really want God to clean us up, he will. But we got to open our hearts and make room for him. We got to come in. We got to let God come in. And we got to allow him to help us through this process. We got to allow the Holy Spirit of God to come in and help us through this process. And we have to actively take part in the process and not just expect God to come in and do everything and then we do nothing. The Bible says the unclean spirit goeth out of a man. When a man is delivered from an unclean spirit, when the unclean spirit sees that the house is swept clean, meaning that the person is not doing anything, the person is not reading their Bible, the person is not meditating on the word of God, the person is not praying, the person is not fasting, the person is not having gospel music or inspirational music that is referring to God. They're not listening to any of that, but they're doing things that are contradictory to the word of God. And not doing anything spiritual. That spirit leaves out of the man and goes and finds seven more friends, demonic friends, and comes back and takes residence up in that person. And the last state of that person is worse than the beginning. Because not only did he have one demon, now he has eight. And it is the enemy's goal for you, me, my children, my grandchildren, your children, your grandchildren, to go to the lake that burns with fire and brimstone rather than go to the new Jerusalem, the new heaven, the new earth. But we don't have to be a pawn in his little game. We can get in the word of God and realize what God has redeemed us from, what Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection has delivered us from, redeemed us from, and get an understanding of that, and then we'll begin to abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. We'll begin to know that we are no longer slaves of sin. We'll begin to say, you know, and live. Let not sin have dominion over me. Keep me back, Lord, from presumptuous sin. And we have to say this every day for a year. Let's say it every day for a year. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. If we would learn Psalm 19, verses 12, 13, and 14, that would be something good to learn. Psalm 19, verses 12 to 14. If we will learn that, and not just learn it, but say that thing. Say it out loud. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now the King James Version of that says, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And can I tell you this in closing, that when you make up your mind to serve God, oh, you're going to lose some friends. Mm-hmm. You're going to have people come against you, and you're going to have people tell you that it doesn't take all of that. But at the end of life, okay, remember this. You're going to have to stand before God, not those people who are telling you that it doesn't take all of that. You're going to have to stand before God and receive your reward for whatever you did in your body, whatever I did in my body, whether it be good or whether it be bad. And if you don't believe me, find that scripture. I believe it's in Revelation. Jesus is coming quickly. It says, and I'm going to see if I can find it real quick for you so you can go back and read that for yourself. He said he's coming quickly and his reward is going to be in his hand with him. I believe it's in Revelation 21 or 22. He says, behold, I come quickly and my reward is with me. Let me see if I can just get that for you. And my reward is with me. He says in Revelation chapter 22. Okay, let's turn to that. Revelation 22. Okay, verse 11 says, let the one who does wrong still do wrong, and the one who is filthy still be filthy, and let the one who is righteous still practice righteousness, and the one who is holy still keep himself holy. Behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done. Okay, that's one of them. There's another one that says that God's going to reward us for what we do, whether it be good or whether it be bad. But even that one right there enough is to let you know that Jesus says, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render every man according to what he has done. So whatever it is that we're doing in this body, God is going to reward us accordingly. Another good scripture to remember is Jeremiah 17:10. It says, I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve. That was Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 10. Matthew chapter 16:27 says, for the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done. I mean, these scriptures are repetitive. Revelation 2:23, I will strike her children dead, and all the churches will know that I am he who searches hearts and minds, and I will repay each of you according to your deeds. That's enough scriptures right there for us to remember. So if you don't know Jesus Christ and a pardoning of your sins, I invite you to get to know him tonight or whenever you're listening to this in the archives. If you've gone to someone's church and you've confessed, you know, with your mouth, the words that the people have told you to say, but you continue to live a lifestyle of sin, I invite you tonight or whenever you're listening to this in the archives to come to Jesus for real. That you recognize that Jesus was wounded for your transgressions and bruised for your iniquities, and the chastisement of your peace was upon him, and with his stripes you are healed. You were healed. I pray for you that God will open up your understanding to this and you will recognize the true penalty that he saved you and us from. You and I, us and them. And that you will begin to believe that. In the name of Jesus. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you tonight for this broadcast. Father, I pray for whoever is listening live and whoever may be listening in the broadcast, God, that you will allow them to hear the word and be healed, that you will cause them to repent, to change their mind, to stop living a lifestyle of sin, that they will come to you, that we all will come to you, Lord God, and lay aside the weight and the sin that so easily besets us, that we will wholeheartedly love you, O God, and serve you, O God, and receive Jesus through faith. And that very receiving of Jesus through faith will cause us to live a brand new life. Help us all, Lord God, to cleave to what is good and to hate, abhor what is evil. Keep back your servants also from presumptuous sin, O God, and let them not have dominion over us. And let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. And Father, I say thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. I thank you, O God, for my children's salvation, for our children's salvation, Ryan, Kimberly, Christopher, Danielle, the grandchildren, Symphony, Nehemiah, Jeremiah, my sisters, our sisters, our brothers, for salvation, O God, that we would truly come to a knowledge and understanding of your word and begin to live life according to how you want us to live it. And Father, I say thank you for that right now in Jesus' name. Father, I know you hear the prayers of the righteous. And Father, I just pray right now that you hear our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. I thank God tonight for this broadcast. It's done something for me. And we have about 3 minutes left, and I know that my husband is on the line, so I'm going to give him a moment to speak to us and say what he has to say. Bishop Gerald Scott.
God bless you. Good evening, wife, and to everyone who's listening and those who will be listening to the archives a little later. We thank God for the message this evening. It was truly an insightful message, one delivered by the Holy Spirit, given to my wife this night for each and every one of us, from her to me. I was listening to it, and as I was listening to it, I was also convicted. You know, we can never get too far along in our Christian journey where we think we've arrived and we have nothing more to learn. That's when we get in trouble. When we think we've arrived and we have nothing more to learn, we have no more growing to do, no more changing, no more inventory, no more examining ourselves. If we think that we really have arrived and don't need to increase our relationship with God and even improve our relationship with God and with each other, truly, we're missing the mark even the more. I think that's the greatest of all sins. It's rooted in pride that we think that we have the answer and no one has to tell us anything and we've so advanced in this thing. I've been preaching since 1964 when I was 12 years old, and here it is 2013, and I'm still delivering the word, whether it's through preaching or whether it's through teaching. And I'm learning something new every single day. I learned something new tonight as we discovered the truths that lie in the book of Romans, one of the best books that Paul ever wrote, I believe, and probably one of the best books in the entire Bible to really understand who we are in relationship to God and what God expects from us. I like that part in particular where it says, "Should we continue in sin?" And the King James Version says, Lord forbid that we continue in sin. Mm-hmm. And so we need to take an inventory of ourselves. If you, I always say this, if you overcome one sin, there's something else you need to overcome. Don't become complacent and satisfied with I overcame this and I conquered this and now I'm no longer that. And yeah, but you got something else to conquer. I know I have something else to conquer. I can say the things that I once did and I don't do anymore, but what am I still doing that I need to change? What am I still doing that I need to purge? What am I still doing that I need to take an inventory of myself? So thank you again, Holy Spirit. Thank you, dear wife, for allowing him to use you this evening. And thank you all, and may God bless each and every one of you.
Amen. God bless you. This will end our broadcast. God bless you. Have an absolutely wonderful night. And may you take the word of God and be blessed. Amen.
Amen.